You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin. We have had the most amazing weekend so far, Friday night and all day yesterday with Locke Kelly, and I am so excited and honored to have him be a part of our Sunday morning services as we continue in the afternoon with his invitation, his weekend invitation into this awake awareness, cultivating a heart, cultivating a capacity to live from this field of awakening, this heart-centered, open-hearted capacity for what we would call God. Let us join together in prayer. O Holy One, essence of all that is, we say yes. We find that field of consciousness that is rooted in love, our divine nature, that even in the unknowing, in the mystery, especially in the mystery, can say yes. Let it be according to your word. My soul magnifies the divine. And so during this time this morning, this service, we allow that opening, that field of love to permeate us, that divine yes, to inspire our music, inspire the words, inspire our time in the silence, inspire us in every way. And so it is. Amen. In just a minute, I'm going to invite Locke Kelly to come up and guide us in our meditation, and then he will go right into his talk or the message. So I want to take this moment to introduce him. For those of you who don't know, how many of you are not familiar with Locke Kelly at this point? Okay, great. Not many. Which is good, because most of you had raised your hands, I would have wondered where you were the last 8 weeks. When I first saw what this material, Shift into Freedom, was offering, I was just amazed, because there is this coming together of traditions and teachings that I have immersed myself in since I really, really dove in my early 20s into these mystical non-dual teachings that Locke brings into the next stage. Because, in centering prayer, which is my primary practice, which is a Christian practice, there is this, the stages of the prayer, which is about moving from the sacred word or your intention for communion with God, and then eventually into union with God, and then you go back through the cycle. And what I loved about this work is that while that's profound and there's an inherent invitation into eventually it will leak into your life, which is absolutely true. What this material does is it cultivates the capacity to glimpse or to live from that union in your life as a natural state. So it is, there are practices, in fact, they're oriented particularly to doing them in the world. So there's something very powerful about coming apart from the world, and what the shift into freedom work and what Locke Kelly really brings in is this capacity to also live in the world and practice this as your natural beingness. To move into that field of embodiment that I so see in what Locke holds and invites us into, he has immersed himself in practice for over 30 years, both including a psychotherapy model and spiritual religious traditions, including Tibetan Buddhism. He's also done work with Father Keating and Beat Griffiths. So that he has really been a lifelong lover of the truth and cultivating that capacity within his own consciousness. What I've seen this last weekend is that he really lives that from a place of engagement with each of us. So if you've been on there on Friday and Saturday, you've noticed that there's an aliveness to the room that is really not based on a model of him telling us what the view looks like. It's more like he's in a plane and he's the pilot and he's asking us to look out the windows and record and report on the view that we are experiencing. So there's this invitation into living this field at a very deep, deep level that I so connect with. And I look forward to you connecting with it too. Will you please join me in welcoming Locke Kelly?
Wow. It's my soul sister there. Great to be here. Thank you so much for welcoming me here. I'm so happy to be able to share with you, and I'm so grateful that so many of you have taken the time to be really the first group to go through this book together and to really read and also do some of the practices and the audio. And it really shows. It's very beautiful and heartwarming to have people, you know, engage with material that I've been working with for so long. So thank you all for that. So I thought what we would do today is do a meditation that I call Dropping from Head to Heart. Okay? So the first thing to begin to explore is what is the heart that we're dropping into? In some ways, we know all too well our head. We know our mind, we know our rational mind, we know our conceptual way of thinking, our way of orienting by thought and creating a kind of sense of a thinker, almost to the point that the famous saying, I think, therefore I am, as if I am the thinker. But the premise here is that you're not the thinker, but we're not denigrating thought. Thought is wonderful, but in Buddhism, thinking is considered the sixth sense. So five senses that we all know, and then thinking is the sixth sense. What do they appear to? They appear to not the thinker, but to this spiritual heart. This heart mind, yeah. So just to say that as we do a meditation, that we're not dropping necessarily into the emotional heart, which often is felt here or in your throat. You know how you feel emotional. We're connecting, touching that, and we're not talking about the physical heart on the left side of our chest. We're not talking about the heart chakra, which is an energy center in our body, and we're not talking about a cave of the heart, which is another place of rest. It's actually almost feels like a door that opens behind you and opens in front of you to look out, to connect to others. It's a center of intelligence, but it's made mostly of wisdom. It's made mostly of space, emptiness that's awake, but it touches the emotional heart, the physical heart, the heart chakra, the cave of the heart. So something like that. That's kind of a little sense of it. And just to say that this, what I call open-hearted awareness, has been called by many names: heart wisdom, sacred heart, Christ consciousness, heart mind. The early Catholic theologian St. Augustine used the word oculus cordis, the eye of the heart. So it's almost like our eye is dropping, or that a heart is looking out of our eyes, or we're looking out of the heart. And G.K. Chesterton said, there is a road from the eye to the heart that does not go through the intellect. In modern times, Brother Wayne Teasdale called it mystical heart. Adi Ashanti calls it spiritual heart. In the Tibetan tradition, it's called a sphere of knowing, or heart mind, or bodhicitta. In Sufi tradition, it's called the heart of hearts. Another one of my teachers called it essence love. So this is a sense of what we're going to do in this meditation, is see whether awareness, which is identified or attached to thought, can simply unhook, almost like you feel like you're taking a hood off, and awareness is actually what's knowing. It can know your jaw, can know your throat, and then it can drop down to know your heart directly from within, so you won't be looking up to thought, and you won't be looking down from thought to know directly. This is the sense of what we're going to see what happens. Nobody knows, because you can't think about it. There's no anticipating what will happen. And then at first, what we'll do is we'll do a little call and response. We'll drop in, I'll give you some instruction, you'll hang out a little bit, and then I'll ask you what you know, word or two about what's going on, what are you knowing, what's happening, and then we'll settle in for a few minutes of silence at the end. So the first sense is that you can have your eyes open or closed. Ultimately, this is the way, the place you can live from. Yeah? So when you unhook awareness from thought and feel like the knowing quality of intelligence is like a globe, invisible globe of intelligence that moves and drops and knows from where it's located, rather than looking from a little point of view in your head down at your heart. You're literally moving, like taking an elevator maybe, or you could follow your breath down, or it's the place that you say om, you feel a vibration there, whatever that area seems to be. And then once we're here, we can speak from here without going back up to the mind for a second opinion. So simply, eyes open or closed, no big deal. Just feel like awareness, the globe of intelligence, can unhook from thought and step back to space. And then feel as if this awareness can feel and know your jaw directly from within. Feel and know your throat. And then feel this intelligence, this awareness, drop below your neck, knowing the aliveness in your body, the space and the awareness directly, so that you're not looking up to know, and you're not looking down and stretching attention down. Unhook, know directly from within your jaw, directly from within your throat, know directly from within your heart mind, this open heart door. And now just see what it's like. What has changed? What's absent that was here before? And what shows up? What qualities of being, of presence? So what would you say, if you were to say a word or phrase, what's here? Peace, energy, love, warmth. truth. Fullness, wholeness. As if the knowing is your ground of being. So it's not only the way you know, but really the sense of who you are. This ground, invisible spirit, invisible support. With nothing to do and nowhere to go, but if you needed to go or do something, you could. But feeling this sense of being that doesn't need to solve any problems. What's here when there's no problem to solve? Who's here? What's this? What's awareness like? What quality? When you don't orient by thought and don't go to sleep. Just let the awareness know itself, as yourself, and include everything. Welcome everything. Love everything. Just being that love that is who you essentially are. And feel that clarity, like day sky, clarity of knowing, the potential to know. A curiosity without needing to analyze. Feel what it's like to abide and just be. With the support of the field, this open presence, yeah? Sense of openness or boundlessness, infinite support, conscious contact with that which is greater than yourself. And when if you pop back up to thought, no big surprise, just simply unhook awareness again and have it ride your breath or drop down like an elevator, letting the awareness return home to who you are, to where you are balanced as both spirit and human body, mind, and spirit, both and. Resting as this which is fully alive and awake, loving, simple, so again, just feeling what it's like to abide in this alert wakefulness that's not going to daydream or to thought or to sleep. Let everything move through this vast open heart and just feel like you're in the now, this timeless awareness that includes everything moving through moment to moment. Feel the sense of being all at once, including and yet this loving awareness is the knowing quality. So again, just hearing a few responses. What are you aware of? What are the qualities that are here when you're living in your heart? Oneness. Joy. Okay. Harmony.
Alive.
Energy.
Powerful.
Gentle flow. So just to say that this is not a meditation state, this is not an altered state, we're actually living from an altered state, and we've returned to our natural condition. This is the natural human potential, and that we can live from here, speak from here, move from here, relate from here, create from here. So just familiarizing yourself with this feeling of being who you really are and enjoying. So good morning again. How's that open-hearted awareness? Is that, you like that potential? Yeah. So I thought I would start with a reading that's in my first chapter of my book called Being Home While Returning Home. So the journey is as if we're trying to always return home or we're trying to find something, yeah? But the first pointer is, though we're trying to return home because we feel lost or disconnected, we're already home. So the place to look is not outside of ourselves, in something in the future, sometime, when I get better at this, when I'm someday, if only I did this, then everything will be okay. But to really look within, yeah? So this is a story about a fish. Once there was a fish who had heard tales of the source of life, which would bring whomever found it their heart's desire. The fish swam to every corner of the ocean, asking, "Where is the source of life? How can I find it?" She kept getting pointed toward different tasks and to more remote parts of the sea, farther, higher, deeper. After many years of seeking, the fish arrived back at the place she had first started. Entering her home water, she encountered an older fish who asked, "What's going on with you, my friend? Why do you look so worried and dejected?" "I've spent years looking for this source of life," the fish explained. "I can't even begin to tell you how many things I've tried, or the number of places I've searched, and all in vain. I don't suppose you know where I could find it. I'll go anywhere, do anything." The old fish smiled and said, "Well, I've heard many names for the source of life in my day, but the simplest is water." So this is the sense that this which we are seeking is already inherent within us, is already closer than our own breath. That even waiting for something to happen, like grace, as if there were moments of grace, that when we have moments of grace and we feel as if we were cut off and then something descended or came to us, it feels like that sometimes, right? As if something came and all of a sudden opened us up and we feel filled and we feel that fortunate connection happens. And though it feels that way, it may be because of the way we believe that we're cut off now. We believe that we're not connected already. So what if that feeling, those moments of grace, those times of grace, really were just the dropping away of the veil? So that it seems if we're obscured or a veil is obscuring us from what's already here and it drops, it seems like something's come from outside and descended upon us. But what if it is that grace is already here? That the Spirit is always with us? That this dimension of consciousness that we seek is really just a matter of learning how to attune, learning how to discover. And that's the premise, that everyone already has this awake nature. Everyone always already has this Christ consciousness. In some ways, that's what Jesus was pointing to, is that the kingdom of heaven is within. seek first the kingdom of heaven, and then all things will be added to you. Rather than seeking all things that you want it added to you, or thinking, oh, I'll get a little kingdom of heaven and then I'll get all this stuff. Because I got the kingdom of heaven, it's a door, I'll walk right through it, and then I have stuff, prizes and good material things that give me physical sense of safety and comfort and connection. But though physical safety, comfort, and connection are important, they keep us in, there's still a kind of dissatisfaction. Talk to anybody who has these things. I have a whole group of people that come to me in New York over the years in therapy who they come and they say, well, I've achieved everything. I have money, I have family, I have friends, I have health, I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, I'm smart, I have everything, I'm miserable. What is it? What's going on? I don't understand. I thought I was supposed to do these things and become these things and get these things, and then everything will okay. I go to church, I read, I pray, I meditate. I'm miserable. So it's this little dissatisfaction. It's this little obscuration that is this sense of a mistaken identity that is a kind of doer and a seeker and a little sense of self made of thought that's within us, that's going out, trying always, as if it's an entity that needs to get food. It needs to get something to satisfy it, and it piggybacks on physical things that we actually do need to get for our physical safety. And when that relaxes, when we drop as we did from head to heart, then that sense of this obscuring false sense of self just unties a knot, and we feel this sense of perspective, of larger nature, of connection to something bigger than ourselves, which is already here. So if this little sense of me, if this problem solver is always trying to solve problems and causing us to obscure our nature, what if you were to right now just look and see what is here when there's no problem to solve on the level of identity? So just let that little part that's never satisfied, that's looking for something, to relax. Just don't look to that. And feel who's here, what's here, what's aware. So just inquire, what's here? If there's nowhere to go and nothing to do, nothing to get, what's this when there's no problem to solve? Just now. And what do you notice? Say,
lightness.
Peace
of mind.
Peace of mind.
Expanded awareness.
Expanded awareness. Joy.
Calm.
Calm. Yeah.
Relief.
Yeah.
Gratitude.
Energy, yeah.
Lightness.
The lightness of being, yeah. So this sense of how close these things which we are seeking, relief, peace of mind, lightness, how close these are, just like the song that was sung. What about this space, this heart space in which thoughts are coming and going? What is it like when you shift just a little, takes a little movement of awareness to be aware of the spacious awareness, the open-hearted awareness, in which thoughts are changing. So when you don't orient who you are by thinking, but you're not getting rid of thinking, you're just feeling your sense of being. What's that like? What do you notice? When you shift into this sense of embodied awareness, awareness that's embodied, includes all of your sensations, feelings, but has the subtler dimension of open-hearted awareness. What would you say? Anybody? What do you notice? It is freedom. Yeah. Freedom from, yeah. Yeah, putting down the burden of physical existence, of the almost like as if we're only physical existence. So physical existence is included, it's just not the only existence. There's also spiritual existence, awareness existence is now primary. And then physical can be included, and it's not such a burden, it's actually it's a very human experience. So the goal is never to transcend human condition. It's actually to live a fully human life. And in order to live a fully human life, you shift into the primacy of awake awareness or spirit, experiential spirit, not intellectual spirit or belief system spirit, but the actual felt sense of this open-hearted awareness that is here and that's palpable even though it's invisible. So even though it's space, it's awake space, can you feel how it feels itself? That there's a palpable way of knowing it, that the space in which thoughts are coming and going, the open-hearted awareness that you shift into, has a feeling. Yeah? Anyone notice that? So that's the possibility, that's the potential, not only to experience it as in a sacred space or in a meditation state, that this actually isn't a meditation state, that we've actually dehypnotized from the trance of the ego identity and returned home to our natural condition, our source of mind, our true nature. This is our true nature. And the key is, not only can we experience it as a little retreat or a little relief, we can live from here. We can talk from here. We can work from here. And this is kind of the spiritual training, is that it takes a little time. It takes almost no time to recognize this, to realize this. Then from here, we kind of rewire our thinking and doing and relating and creating so that we're literally operating from a new operating system. We've shifted from head thought-based knowing to awareness-based knowing, open-hearted heart-mind, which can speak and talk and has put the burden down, has a lightness of being, is not reactive, isn't projecting all the fears onto other people. That kind of feeling is dropped. There's a sense of natural connection. Anyone feel that interconnection, love, that is literally like a fit, like, oh, we're all same, same. We're all the same. Oh, I see. Oh, there's somebody. Oh, we're the same. We're the same. We're the same. We're the same. Yeah. That feeling, if that's primary, so many issues of suffering and conflict and worry immediately are dissolved and resolved upon shifting into this natural dimension of consciousness that many of us don't even know we have. We don't even know we have it, and then don't know how to get there, and then don't know how to remain. And really, that's it. Having a sense, a taste like we do today or like you've had before, So, oh, okay, this is what this is. This isn't a state. This is me. Huh. True nature. Hmm. It's pretty good. Kind of like it. Right? I could, you know. Would you want to live from here if you could? And then, could you live from here? Would you be willing to do the kind of training or the, you know, the habit, new habit formation of learning to live from here if it didn't really take, you could do it in the midst of your life. You don't have to go off to a monastery or cave. It can be done just through, you know, group support and daily small glimpses of returning and familiarizing. And then learning to bring it into the world. Type an email from here. make a telephone call from here. So this is the possibility. If grace is here, if the Spirit is already with us, if this Christ consciousness is our true nature, then finding a way home, living at home, using Wi-Fi to the files in the office of our head, and then relating and creating from here is the possibility to live a spiritual life, to be in the world but not of it. So thank you.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the Donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.